Hello and welcome to Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website. In the Bix is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of Bix Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of Bix's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. Today what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a number of recordings by Red Nichols of tunes that were recorded by Bix. And I'm going to do this in chronological order. So I'm going to start with Washboard Blues. Washboard Blues was recorded by Red Nichols and his Five Pennies on December 8, 1926, more than a year before Bix with Bix recorded the tune, the Hoy Carmichael's tune, with the Paul Whiteman Orchestra. The composition of the Five Pennies here is Red Nichols on trumpet, Jimmy Dorsey clarinet, alto sax, Arthur Schott on piano, Eddie Lang on guitar, and Vic Burton on drums. Who is conspicuously absent is, of course, Miff Maul. Not clear why. The previous session, which was Red and Miff Stompers on November 10, 1926, has Miff Maul. And the following session, which was on December 20, 1926, also has Miff Maul. Okay, let me read to you what Stephen Stroff says in his book Red Head, A Chronological Survey of Red Nichols and His Five Pennies. Talking about the Whiteman recording of Washboard Blues, Stroff writes, Hoagy was on that record too, a pretentious concert arrangement of his song with slow tempi, syrupy strings, and Hoagy's then squeaky high tenor enlivened only by a Dixieland interlude by for Bix and the Dorsey Brothers. Nichols' version, though a little tepid, is, in my opinion, even better than that of the Carmichael-Whiteman collaboration. There was, in 1956, in the 50th anniversary album, a recording of Washboard Blues with Carmichael and Whiteman. And the Nichols' version, Stroff says, begins with an 8-bar intro, 4 bars ensemble, 4 bars of Lang's guitar, then the main theme, played by ensemble with timpani breaks, alternating F and the C below. Interestingly, the middle section is played in minor, whereas Carmichael's own version has it in major. Perhaps there was a change of heart between December 26 and November 27. Then comes the B theme with 4 bars of clarinet, followed by an exquisite Nichols-Dorsey duo improvisation. We hear Schott's piano for 12 bars, Lang on guitar, then Nichols in excellent form on cornet with timpani underpinning. When Dorsey comes back in, he is quite jazzy. Then ensemble with timpani breaks, ensemble with cymbal breaks, and the outro. Okay. One interesting thing about Washboard Blues, apparently, as far as I remember, Hoagy Carmichael, when he was in Miami, heard the Red Nichols record of Washboard Blues coming out of a music shop, and he was very impressed by that, and apparently at that point he decided to give up his law career and take life of that of a professional musician. Okay, the second recording is by Miff Maul's Little Maulers. It's from March 7, 1927, and it is Bix's composition Davenport Blues, which Bix recorded in about 1925. The Maulers here are Red Nichols, Miff Maul, Jimmy Dorsey, Arthur Schott, Joe Tardo, Dick McDonough, and Ray Bouduc on drums, which is a departure most of the time in the Red Nichols Five Pennies and the various names that Red and Miff used in order to produce their recordings. The drummer was Vic Burton, but this is Ray Bouduc. And let's see, I'll read what Stephen Stroff says. He says, this remake of Davenport Blues, they had recorded the Davenport Blues a few months earlier, dispenses entirely with an intro jumping into the chorus with J.D. clarinet breaks. Maul solos on the verse, followed by a superb Dorsey alto solo of beautiful and logical construction with Tardo underpinning. Shot solos followed by the ride out with Bouduc on cymbals. So let's listen then to a couple of recordings that have Red Nichols in them of tunes which were recorded by Bix. First, from 1926, Washboard Blues, Hoagy Carmichael's composition. Then from 1927, Davenport Blues, Bix's composition. Thank you. I think the arrangement of Davenport Blues by Miff Maul's Little Maulers is quite good. Really a very nice version. Okay, now let's turn to Riverboat Shuffle, another Hoagy Carmichael composition recorded by Bix twice, once with the Wolverines in 24, once with Trombauer in 27. This recording by Red Nichols and his Five Pennies, and there are a lot more than Five Pennies here, is from August 15th, 1927. Red Nichols on trumpet, and Leo McConville and Manny Klein also on trumpet, Miff Maul on trombone, Pee Wee Russell clarinet, Fud Livingston on tenor sax, he's also arranging, Adrian Rollini on bass saxophone, Lenny Hayton on piano, Dick McDonough on guitar, and Vic Burton on drums. Now let me read to you what Stephen Stroff says about this recording. He says, this rather large edition of the Five Pennies, Ten Men on Riverboat Shuffle, indicates to me that already by August 1927, Nichols was looking for new directions in which to take the band. To this end, there was not only a larger-than-normal ensemble, but the infusion of new blood in the persons of Russell, Hayton, and Livingston. Charles Ellsworth Pee Wee Russell, 1906-1969, was, of course, one of the greatest white jazz men of his time, a musician who refused to stand still in his exploration of evolving styles. Here we hear him at age 21, relatively fresh from Herbert Berger's band in St. Louis, where he had achieved some local prestige. If his playing is somewhat tentative, occasionally squawky, and includes some wrong notes, he nevertheless shortly developed into one of the music's true greats. The one obstacle that many listeners cannot overcome with Pee-wee was his raspy, fugitive tone, and an anti-virtuosic approach to clarinet playing that puzzles historians as to its origin. Chicagoan Frank Teschmacher also developed such a style, but contemporary with Russell rather than as a predecessor. Pianist Lenny Hayton, 1908-1971, is much less well known today, though in the 1920s he was considered to be one of the best and most modern arrangers. His work has sadly dated with the passage of time. What was considered novel and striking then sounds rather predictable and uninventive now. Not so, however, the third new member, Joseph Anthony Fudd Livingston, 1906-1957, a multi-talented performer, had studied piano, clarinet, and saxophone. At the time of this recording, he was the principal hot arranger for the Ben Pollack Band, which in essence meant that few, if any, of his arrangements were getting recorded. Riverboat Shuffle is one such Livingston arrangement, though not as hot as the Trombauer Beiderbecke version on OK, is nonetheless tighter and more unified. Nichols' version is also more relaxed in tempo, with loud, soft, dynamic contrasts in the opening. Rollini solos for four bars, followed by ensemble. Russell's clarinet is sour and tentative, not as good as his later form. This is followed by McDonough's guitar, nice but unswinging. Maul picks things up. Nichols is lyrical but somewhat predictable. Then comes the ride out and ending, the latter with ascending and descending chromatics. Following Riverboat Shuffle, I'm going to play Japanese Sandman. Again, Bix recorded this twice, once with Trombauer, once with Whiteman. Japanese Sandman was recorded on February 27, 1928. Red Nichols on trumpet, Miff Maul on trombone, Dudley Fosdick on mellophone, Fud Livingston clarinet, alto, Pee Wee Russell clarinet, tenor sax, Lenny Hayton piano, Carl Kress guitar, Vic Burton on drums. And the arrangers for the February 27, 1928 session that brought us Japanese Sandman is by Red Nichols and Fud Livingston. There's very brief mention of Japanese Sandman in Redhead by Stephen Stroff. He writes, Japanese Sandman is the scarcest number from this session. It is a medium-slow arrangement, much in the same vein as Ida, and obviously trying to cash in on the former's popularity. Aside from a good Russell break, the most one can say of it is that it's all fairly well. All right, so let's listen then to two tunes that Dix recorded, but these are recordings by Red Nichols. First, Riverboat Shuffle, 1927, and then Japanese Sandman, 1928.
Thank you.
The next recording that I want to play is There'll Come a Time. This was a composition by Miff Mall and Wingy Manone. Bix and Tram recorded it in January of 1928, several months before Red Nichols and his Five Pennies. It is perhaps, to me at least anyway, surprising that Bix and Tram got their version of a Miff Mall composition months before Miff Mall himself recorded it. Anyway, the recording is by Red Nichols and his Five Pennies, and it has Red Nichols, Leo McConville, and Manny Klein on trumpet, Miff Mall on trombone, Jimmy Dorsey on clarinet, or alto sax, Arthur Schott on piano, Carl Kress on guitar, and Vic Burton on drums. This was May 29, 1928. 2 days later, Red Nichols and his Five Pennies, there were many more than five, went back to the studio and recorded Margie. Margie was the last recording that Bix made under the name of Bix and his gang. The recording of Margie by Red Nichols and his Five Pennies is from June 1st, 1928, and has Red Nichols, Leo McConville, Manny Klein on trumpet, Miff Mall on trombone, Dudley Fosdick on mellophone, Fud Livingston on clarinet or tenor sax, Arthur Schott on piano, Carl Kress on guitar, Art Miller on bass saxophone, Joe Venuti on violin. I have to listen to the recording carefully to see if I can detect Joe Venuti there. And for a change in the drummer, this is now Chauncey Morehouse, of course, the drummer with the Gene Gold Cat Band in 1926-27 when Bix was with Gold Cat. The recording of Margie dates from June 1st, 1928. So let's listen then to first There'll Come a Time, and then Margie, Red Nichols and his Five Pennies, 1928. I did not detect any violin in that recording of Margie. I wonder if others can hear him, can hear Joe Venuti. And the tempo of Dal Kamatam is a lot slower than the one that Bix and Tram followed in their own recording. Okay, now I want to go to a recording which was waxed by Bix with Paul Whiteman. It's You Took Advantage of Me. This version that I'm playing is by Miff Molls and His Little Molars. The date is July 27, 1928. The musicians are Red Nichols and Leo McConville on trumpet, Miff Moll on trombone, Dudley Fosdick on mellophone, Fod Livingston on clarinet or tenor sax, Arthur Schott on piano, Carl Kress on guitar, Joe Tardo on brass bass, and Stan King on drums. The next recording that I want to play, and I'm sorry this is not in chronological order, this is from September 16, 1927, Baltimore. Bix had recorded this with Frank Trombauer's orchestra. The recording that I'm playing now is by the Redheads, with Red Nichols on trumpet, Wingy Manon on cornet, Miff Moll on trombone, Pee Wee Russell on clarinet and tenor sax, Arthur Schott on piano, and Vic Burton on drums and harpophone. So, let's listen then to two recordings of Vic's tunes by Red Nichols and the Redheads. First, You Took Advantage of Me from 1928, and then Baltimore from 1927.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move to 1929 now, and I want to play the first and the last recordings of the Louisiana Rhythm Kings with Red Nichols, for sure. And the first one is a futuristic rhythm, which was recorded by Bix and Tram. And this is February 20, 1929, Red Nichols on trumpet, and he's the arranger, Miff Mall on trombone, Dudley Fosdick on mellotone, Ford Livingston on clarinet and tenor sax, Arthur Shot on piano, Vic Burton on drums. And then I'll play from September 10, 1929, Waiting at the End of the Road, the last recording that Bix made with Paul Whiteman in 1929, before collapsing and having to go back to Davenport for recuperation. The recording of September 10, 1929 of Waiting at the End of the Road by Red Nichols has Red Nichols and Tommy Thunen on trumpet, Glenn Miller on trombone, Jimmy Dorsey on clarinet and alto sax, Irving Brodsky on piano, and Dave Tough on drums. This is, except for Jimmy Dorsey, it's a newly constituted Five Pennies, basically. Okay, so let's listen then to the Louisiana Rhythm Kings with Red Nichols, 1929. Correction, Nichols had another session as the Louisiana Rhythm Kings, and that was on January 27, 1930. Okay, let's listen then to the Louisiana Rhythm Kings, Red Nichols, 1929. Thank you. Now we go to 1930, and a recording of China Boy, one that Bix did with Paul Whiteman. This is Red Nichols and His Five Pennies, but it's many, many, many more. July 2nd, 1930, Red Nichols, Ruby Weinstein and Charlie Teagarden on trumpet, Jack Teagarden and Glenn Miller on trombone, Benny Goodman on clarinet, Sid Stoneburn on alto sax, Babe Russin on tenor sax, Joe Sullivan piano, Trek Brown banjo, Art Miller string bass, and Gene Krupa is on drums. Stephen Stroff in Redhead includes also Adrian Rollini on bass saxophone. I forgot this recording, so I'm going to listen again and see if I can hear Rollini. Stephen Stroff writes, this 13-piece Five Pennies outfit might have boded badly in 1930 for any consistent jazz content. But for some reason, Nichols was able to give Miller his head and allowed him to come up with three rather nice arrangements. There were three recordings made on that session. About China Boy, he writes, features an out-of-tempo intro and coda by Jack Teagarden, more good solos, particularly by Goodman, and some nice touches, such as the brass crescendo in the opening theme, which is quintessential Miller. Okay, now, I'm going to follow that with a recording from 1932, February 18, 1932, that has Red Nichols on trumpet, Jimmy Dorsey on clarinet or alto sax, Babe Russin on tenor sax, Fulton McGrath on piano, Dick McDonough on guitar, Artie Bernstein on string bass, Victor Engel on drums. Sweet Sue was recorded by Bix with Whiteman. Steve Stroff writes about Sweet Sue. Sweet Sue is not as hot as Sweet Sue is not as hot as the January 1930 Louisiana Rhythm Kings version that doesn't have Red Nichols. But compared to most of the drags surrounding this session, it isn't bad. There is a clarinet guitar opening with bowed bass, then trumpet with tenor sax cushion, the tenor coming up from behind in the middle section of the chorus. Nichols muted, plays with the shuffle rhythm, sounding much like another band of the swing era, Jan Sabbitt and His Top Hatters, with Russin on the middle eight. When Red returns, the rhythm is swinging four. This is followed by McDonough guitar, single note, with piano and subtone clarinet figures. Then the clarinet trills while Nichols plays straight to the end. Okay, so let's listen then to Red Nichols, first in 1930, then 1932. Thank you. Well, I hope you have enjoyed this set of recordings that have Red Nichols playing cornet or trumpet. And these are all tunes that Bix recorded. There are a couple more that I didn't bring in. Sugar is one of them. And the other is A Good Man is Hard to Find. There is also Sunday by Cliff Edwards. Well, let's get back to Bix now. We have come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.